Lesson number 6, mixed marriages. God invented marriage. He created a woman, presented her to Adam as his helper, suited to him. He took a bone from near his heart because she was to stand by his side as his equal. She was not from his head, which might suggest superiority, or from his foot, which might signal subservience. Whatever upsets the balance of this relationship ultimately brings problems into the family. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers is a principle which has lost nothing of its truth through the millennia. Part number 1, problem and prayer. Ezra had hardly settled into his work at Jerusalem when he learned that many of the leaders, secular and priestly, had entered into mixed marriages with the half-pagan people of the land. From the call of Abraham, the Lord had warned against contracting such marriages. The children of such unions had formed the mixed multitude during the Exodus. They had been the troublemakers throughout the 40 years of wandering. Solomon's character and rulership had been devastated by his mixed marriages. Ezra then entered into a season of prayer with other kindred spirits, confessing the sins of his people and reviewing the causes of Israel's moral decline, dedicating himself to God. In Adventist Home 67, Ellen White notes, "In the study of the causes leading to the Babylonish captivity, Ezra had learned that Israel's apostasy was largely traceable to their mingling with the heathen nations. He had seen that if they had obeyed God's command to keep separate from the nations surrounding them, they would have been spared many sad and humiliating experiences. Now when he learned that, notwithstanding the lessons of the past, men of prominence had dared transgress the laws given as a safeguard against apostasy, his heart was stirred within him. Unless you would have a home that shadows are never lifted, do not unite yourself with one who is an enemy of God." Part number 2, severing mixed ties. As the priests and Levites, along with the Jewish men, women, and children, witness Ezra's anguish over their mixed marriages, the Spirit brought about conviction of sin, and they too burst into tears. When Ezra placed the problems of the nation before God, the Spirit used the occasion to start a reformation among the people. Jehiel, who had married a second pagan wife, had evidently brought pain to the family. His son Shechaniah was moved to acknowledge the conditions among the Jews, and in spite of his father's influence, proposed entering into a covenant with God to remedy the situation by divorcing the pagan wives and providing for them and their children. This tragic solution, resulting in immense trauma for the families, was felt to be a lesser of two evils. Proclamation was made for all Jews to assemble at Jerusalem to consider the matter. Although Ezra had not proposed the solution, he endorsed it. Plainly laid before the national concourse the nature of their sin, invited them to covenant with Jehovah to cleanse their families of the blight they had introduced. Drastic sins require drastic solutions. Some heads of families did what was proposed, others did not. Dangers of persistent bad practices. 13 years later, Nehemiah was confronted with the same problem of mixed marriages. But now he faced the effect of this upon the next generation. The children in these families were unable to speak fluently either Aramaic or the tongue of their mothers. This was representative of their inability to identify with the worship, philosophy, lifestyle of their Jewish fathers. Scriptures were no longer the basis of their thinking and acting. The entire future looked bleak for the covenant people. Once again the Jews assembled at the temple at the call of Nehemiah. Many agreed to dedicate themselves to God's service, separate from their pagan wives. Nehemiah strengthened their determination to do so by reminding them of the effect of mixed marriages both upon Solomon and the kingdom of Israel. Solomon had rationalized that he had good reason for doing so. Ellen White notes, he flattered himself that his wisdom and the power of his example would lead his wives from idolatry to the worship of the true God, and also that the alliances thus formed would draw the nations round about into a close touch with Israel. Prophets and Kings 54. But without God on his side, he had not worked out as he had planned. For years, Solomon actually apostatized. And although he turned back to God late in life, the kingdom was eventually divided, all because of his mixed marriages. Those who followed Nehemiah's suggestion consecrated themselves and their families to Jehovah, gained the blessing of heaven. Ellen White notes, every true turning to the Lord brings binding joy into the life. It is God's glory to encircle sinful, repentant human beings in the arms of his love, to bind up their wounds, to cleanse them from sin, to clothe them with the garments of salvation. Prophets and Kings 6:6-8. Intermarriage and intrigue. But while some were turning to the Lord, the Reformation was by no means universal among the fledgling Jewish nation. There were still powerful pagan influences at work. The high priest Elishaib had arranged for Tobiah the Ammonite and his son to marry into prominent Jewish families. Even Eliashib, grandson, was married to the daughter of Sanballat the Horonite. These flagrant infractions of God's law prohibiting mixed marriages emasculated the high priest's ability to serve God or his people. He had even allowed Tobiah the Ammonite, the enemy of God's people, to set up housekeeping in one of the important chambers in the temple. On his return from the court of Ahasuerus, Nehemiah evicted the Ammonite Tobiah, all his effects, from the temple of Jehovah. Nehemiah went further. A grandson of the high priest, having married a daughter of the notorious Sanballat, Ellen White explains, was not only removed from office, but prominently banished from Israel. Many who had married idolaters chose to go with them into exile. And these, with those who had been expelled from the congregation, joined the Samaritans. Hither some who had occupied high positions in the work of God found their way, and after a time cast in their lot fully with them. Desiring to strengthen this alliance, the Samaritans promised to adopt more fully the Jewish faith and customs, and the apostates, determined to outdo their former brethren, erected a temple on Mount Gerizim, in opposition to the house of God at Jerusalem. Their religion continued to be a mixture of Judaism and heathenism, and their claim to be the people of God was the source of schism, emulation, enmity between the two nations from generation to generation. Prophets and Kings 6:74-5. These events contain a vital message for Adventists. Offshoot movements are really not motivated by sound theology, even though their proponents claim that this is the reason for their departure. They come about for reasons similar to those of the rise of the Samaritan offshoots from Judaism. Even today, personal sin, anger against those who insist upon the standards of Scripture, spur apostates on to their course of action. Part number 5. Divorce for the wrong reasons. Years later, Malachi continued to inveigh against all who had married the daughter of a strange foreign god, namely a worshipper of idols. In the first century of the Christian era, Paul was directed in enunciating the same Old Testament principles that Christian believers should not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. To those who had become Christians after contracting marriage, however, the apostle's advice was for the believer to stay with his or her spouse as long as he or she desired the union to continue. The partner is to be made the object of special solicitude. He or she is to be loved, to be tenderly regarded, and become the mission field for the believing Christian. His own sanctification may sanctify the partner. God is going to use him in a special way. This is his nearest missionary field. I remember years ago being visited by a member of the church who said to me, "I want you to come and study with my husband. He doesn't believe." I said to her, "How many pastors have you said that to?" She looked up surprised. She said, "Several." I said, "When the pastor comes in, your husband walks out." She said, "How did you know?" I said, "That often happens." I said, "Your husband is your mission field. The Lord has given you the Spirit. He will help you. You pray about it." And you know, in process of time, I had the joy of baptizing that husband, who outlived his wife and became an elder of the church and was a solid Christian. As we think of these principles in this lesson, outwardly, temple, government, organization, prosperity, people, going forward, inwardly, personal problems can corrode and destroy. Through these years, God helped to overcome the Samaritans and the Ammonites and Moabites and Philistines. He brought kings and counselors on his side. But unless the people of God, in their own hearts and in their own souls, are dedicated to him completely, Satan will destroy them. It was at the time of Israel's greatest prosperity under Solomon that the seeds of destruction and division were sown. And right now, the temple is rebuilt, Jerusalem is being restored, the government has been brought back, Israel is a nation, same old problems are there. We must learn from the history of God's people not to make these mistakes and to allow the Spirit of God to control us at all times.